I'd like now to welcome Javier Gonzalez. He is candidate for mayor in the city of Santa Fe. Welcome.
Welcome. Hey, thank you very much, Mary Carol. I'm glad to be here and here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. I want to ask you and your listeners to please forgive me a little bit. I've come in with the allergies, and it seems to have started a little bit earlier, but
So if you're elected, what will you do about allergies?
Well, you know, I will...
just kidding.
Right, I was going to say, let me see how I pull my way through that one. Probably on a more serious note, I'm actually looking forward to going and visiting with some of the local honey distributors, because people do say that if you're able to start taking some honey and kind of building up your immune system, that might be a little bit easier way to deal with things than having to go to the pharmaceutical all the time.
So you have served in the county. You were Democratic chair of the state Democratic Party. Why are you now running for mayor?
You know, look, I think that for me personally, one, it's a recognition that, you know, there's some incredible things here in Santa Fe that we all love. And whether it's our cultures, whether it's, you know, our history as an art and culture destination, the people that live here, the environment, the number of factors causes to really be in love with this place. But I also think that there are some systemic challenges that are holding us back as a community. And I know that people across the town recognize that we have to address them. In particular, we have to start confronting the issues of climate change in Santa Fe. We know year over year, temperatures are rising. Wildland fires are occurring in our mountains surrounding Santa Fe. And our drought cycles are much longer than what they were, so there's going to be a huge impact on our water. One of the first conversations that we had as part of this campaign, we're having a series of conversations, was with Bill DeBuise and other leading environmentalists. And Bill, who I actually met here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, said something really important, and that is that as we look to our future, recognizing that there are all these threats that exist to our water quality and to our environment, it's important that we develop policies that allow for resilience to take place in our community. And that basically recognizes, despite all these challenges and threats, we have to build in the mechanisms to make sure that we're protecting our groundwater quality, that we're assuring that that we grow greener as a community, that we're looking at ways to rid our dependence on fossil fuels continuously. And so, you know, I want to get involved in those areas. I think the city's done a good job in conserving water and doing what they can to protect our watershed up in the Santa Fe Canyon. But our watershed actually extends all the way up to the Colorado. And so we need to do more outside of the city boundaries to try and address some of our environmental challenges that we have. The second issue relates particularly...
Wait, hang on. How do you as a city go beyond your city boundaries?
You exert leadership. You develop coalitions. And one of the reasons why I think that, you know, in the last 15 years, there have been 17 city councilors that have served, 10 have endorsed my candidacy, as well as county commissioners. And the reason being is that you have to be an effective collaborator with groups, not only at the city council, but with the county commission and the surrounding counties, with the private and the nonprofit sectors. The best way to address, or one of the early ways to address some of the threats of climate change is to build coalitions to create healthier forests up and down the Rio Grande Corridor. And here's why it impacts Santa Fe. Last year, there was the fire in the Conchas that consumed thousands of acres near the Santa Clara Pueblo. Post-fire, the floods came in, and as the floods came in, it just took all the silt straight into the Rio Grande. We, as a community, spent $200 million building the Buckman Diversion Project that would allow for us to have conjunctive management use, and that means that we can use surface water through the Rio Grande, and when we're using that surface water, it allows us to stop depleting the aquifers, which are our primary source of water here in Santa Fe. And then when our allocation of the surface water goes away, we go back to using our aquifers. So it's a conjunctive management use that we're doing here in the community. And it's a good strategy. But when the silt went into the Rio Grande, it polluted it so much that the quality of the water was so bad we couldn't use it at times during the year. And so this $200 million investment to protect our groundwater aquifers wasn't able to be put to use because of the fact that the Conchas fire had delivered, you know, so much of the aftermath into the Rio Grande. So Santa Fe can be a leader in building coalitions to create healthier forest systems up and down the northern Rio Grande corridor. That's important because it affects directly our quality of life. The other area, obviously, is what's happening in Los Alamos. Los Alamos is an important economic engine for our community. A third of their workforce lives in Santa Fe. But that does not mean that they can abdicate their environmental responsibilities to our community. Today, Los Alamos wants to store hazardous material in unlined pits. And we know up in the Los Alamos area, especially, you know, the ground that supports it up there, I mean, that's all volcanic rock. And it's very easy for this hazardous materials, if they're in unlined pits, to make their way into our groundwater. The groundwater in the region supports about 270,000 people. So American lead the coalitions to, one, prevent that from happening, and the state has jurisdiction over that. And then, two, go to Washington and seek more funding for environmental cleanup up in Los Alamos. And not only is that good for the environment, but it's good for our economy.
We're talking to Javier Gonzalez, candidate for mayor. Now, one of the things I keep noticing over years of observing the economy and the environment is that sometimes those things are at odds with each other. So what's good, really good for the environment, isn't necessarily so good for economic growth. And economic growth as a concept may be kind of coming to its end. And that affects the entire planet. That affects every community. It affects things like, do you want to have massive job growth in Santa Fe, which then brings more people in a drought cycle?
Right. Well, look, you know, I think that it's up to the leadership in Santa Fe to align the interests together, to focus on protecting the environment while being able to grow our economy. And here's why. Last year, the stock market grew by 26%, you know, at the national level. In Santa Fe, real wages only grew by less than 1%. When you factor in the cost of living, Santa Feans year over year are losing money just living in our community. And so we have to create an economic infrastructure that allows for that upward mobility so that we could see wages grow in our community and align those with clean industry. So here's what I've proposed specifically. One is to create the Santa Fe Verde Fund. The Verde Fund is a fund that would bring capital to address energy retrofits and deliver distributive generation in our community. The Verde Fund would have the backing of the city.
Distributive generation?
Is solar rooftops.
Okay.
So right now I sit on the Board of Regents at New Mexico State University. We just approved a $16 million bond initiative that will not affect our credit rating. It doesn't go against our bond capacity. And we're going to retrofit 2.1 million square feet of campus facilities in Las Cruces. It's the largest in the state. Here in Santa Fe, the Verde Fund would be created to do something similar. The city has taken about 25% of its facilities, and they've put some distributive generation on them. I want to take 100% of our facilities and retrofit them in a way that drives more energy efficiency and reduces the dependence of the fossil fuel that's going in there to provide energy into those facilities.
So that all public buildings are solar.
So all public buildings are solar, and they hit some kind of LEED status. So that they're green in nature as well. Now, we're going to need a workforce to be able to lead those efforts, but we have to go beyond that. So what I've proposed is that we bring back this idea of renewable energy districts, and those are districts where you could take a neighborhood that chooses to create an assessment against their property values to create capital to retrofit their homes. So if you live in a 1,500-square-foot house and $10,000 of repairs will help with your, you know, windows and maybe your roof and your stucco, your water technology in the house. This energy district would create the capital that you could borrow against. It'd be a low cost form of capital, lower than what you would get at the banks. You wouldn't have to go and borrow money at the banks the traditional way. It would just be an assessment against your property values. And you would use the savings that you would generate by consuming less water, consuming less energy, to pay for the cost of those retrofits. That can happen today in conjunction with the city doing the same thing on their own. And then we have to work to pass legislation, as Senator Bingaman and I discussed on Sunday during our conversation with the public, to allow have the state give us the ability to build community solar farms here in Santa Fe that the public could use. There's a lot of people who don't want solar tops on their rooftops or they can't afford them. There are some homes in Santa Fe where it doesn't make sense to do it, especially up along Canyon Road and the Upper Canyon Road areas. And so what this would do is allow people to buy panels in the solar farm, the community solar farm, and through that be able to get some kind of renewable energy benefit by making that investment in community solar. So those are all areas that I would focus on. And if we do that, then, you know, the community college, which has an associate's degree in being able to have the workmanships and the craftsmanship to retrofit homes, people who go through that degree program will be able to come into our community and work. The public schools are developing an academy of sustainability. It's going to teach our kids all the greening principles around being a craftsman, being a pipe fitter, being a carpenter. And so when they come out of high school, if they don't want to go into college or they choose not to, they'll have a place to come in Santa Fe and work to help us green our city. So what I've said as mayor that I would develop the efforts to make Santa Fe a sustainable city that is on par with leading cities around the world, and we would grow a workforce to help support our efforts to make that happen. The other area that we need to focus on in clean energy is, you know, again, I've talked about expanding our film economy, so we diversify in that area. It's not a high impact on our community, as well as the software and technology fields.
What about other infrastructure projects besides solar? What do you think are the real priorities, like top three or four priorities for Santa Fe infrastructure at this point?
Well, you know, we constantly need to be focused on delivering an urban watershed in Santa Fe. I think it's important through the use of, you know, water catchment systems and, you know, the permeable asphalt that we're able to, use and think better about how we capture water whenever it does rain in Santa Fe and create an urban watershed. I think that's an infrastructure investment we need to make. We need to focus on bringing the Santa Fe River to life full time. I know it's costly, but I sit on the board of the American Rivers Group. American Rivers is a national board that focuses on rivers that are under threat. And they develop programs to bring private investment, federal investment, and local investment to help restore rivers. I would focus on Santa Fe River being one of those areas. We need to go back to the basics and make sure that our roads, our potholes are filled, that they're safe. I think that's just something that's already built in into the normal capital improvement projects that the city does. So for me, though, the additional infrastructure investments will be focused on the urban watershed, the Santa Fe River, and then the third that's really part of the community and important to build community and economic development is fiber infrastructure. Here in Santa Fe, there's still places where you can only use dial-up to get onto the Internet, hard to imagine. And if you're able to get onto the Internet, the cost of accessing the Internet is higher than what it is in Albuquerque. So not only do we need to deploy fiber throughout the city, it has to be done in an affordable way, which means we either look at competition, we do it alone, or we work better deals out with CenturyLink right now, who is the provider of the fiber. But if we're going to grow our economy in a clean way, we need to have some of the basics when it comes to fiber to do it. And families whose kids, you know, the city's about to make a $55 million investment in technology, we have to make sure that when those kids take home their iPads or their computers, that you know, they're able to access the global information space, and that means we have to have fiber throughout the community.
What about the newly annexed area? Is that also an infrastructure project that you're thinking about?
Well, you know, I think for the new annexed area, there's a number of things that we have to do in addition to infrastructure. One of the first things I would do would be to create a Southside task force to advise me as mayor what the city can do or where we need to prioritize efforts to bring equity to the South Side. So what's happened on the South Side is that, you know, that's a place where many people have been able to afford to live, but we haven't connected any employment bases down there. So everybody who lives on the South Side has to drive, you know, to the downtown area to work, whether it's in the service industry or in government, and then they have to drive all the way back. So we need to take more jobs down to the South Side. We need to build more community infrastructure in parks and recreation areas. Warehouse 21 is a great place, but it's in the center of town. And so many kids, the high schools are on the south side of town. Many kids, they find it very difficult to find a ride to come to Warehouse 21. So we have to take some of the similar programming that's Warehouse 21 to the south side. So I would focus on the south side and making sure that there's parity in services that are delivered when it comes to community infrastructure. We have the library out there. We can do better when it comes to recreation. I would focus on making sure as we think about growing jobs in our community, we're doing so on the south side. And then of course, you know, I want to make sure the south side has a lot of schools that you know, when you look at the census tracts around the south side, those are communities that are classified by the federal government as being persistently poor communities. And those communities need access to better social services, more wraparound services. So it's easier and more convenient for families to get access to the help that they need to help them overcome some of the challenges that they have. So when you look at, you know, when you look at need of service, 80% of the services that are needed in Santa Fe are generated from the south side. Yet, you know, so much of the government agencies to deliver those services are in the downtown area, and a lot of that's just because of the way we grew.
Are you talking about police, fire?
I'm talking about, well, police and fire, but I'm talking human services. You know, people who need access to, you know, whether it's food stamp programs, whether it's unemployment benefits, there's a lot of...
So services particularly for low-income communities.
For low-income, that affects social issues on their behalf, yes.
Now, what about schools and education? I mean, it is a state thing, but the city can do... Well, what can the city do?
Well, specifically, you know, I'm proud to have the endorsement of the teachers. The National Education Association has endorsed my campaign, as well as three of the existing school board members. Specifically, what I would focus on is mayor. And this is driven by the fact that, on average, 90% of our kids' time is spent outside of a classroom. I think that the reason the teachers endorsed me was because they recognize that a lot of the kids that are coming into their teachers are just coming in into their classrooms are coming in ill-equipped to be able to learn and to have and, you know, develop that love of learning. And here's why. I mean, you know, last year there were 1,000 reported cases of domestic violence in our town. Many of those are in family homes where kids are affected by that. There were, when you look at the percentage of kids being raised by single parents, it's about 43% in our community, and many of those single parents have to have two jobs, so there's a lot of latchkey kids that are home kind of on their own. 33% of our kids in our community are persistently hungry, and that's all data that's been driven by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, who came in and did an assessment of the educational system in Santa Fe and in New Mexico. So specifically what I would focus on is leading efforts to bring a 0-6 early childhood investment program here, or early childhood program, that would be comprehensive in nature, so it would have to include the county. It would have high-quality, good-wage teachers that are working with our kids from the time they're born to the time that they turn 6, getting them ready to go into the K-12 system. So as mayor, I would work alongside with the United Way, with the school district and the private sector to bring about the creation of a 0-6 program. The second area that I would focus on is expanding programs in our after-school and our summer programs. Today, community centers are open from 8 to 5. Our schools are in place from about 8 to 3. We kind of need to shift the hours of operation and open up our community centers, you know, from 3 till 8, so kids have a place to come into or a place to come to after they finish school. And, you know, the opportunity there is to work with the arts community. There's a lot of nonprofits who want to see more arts in the schools to bring programming so that, you know, the kids have a meaningful, constructive time when they're not in school while their parents are working. During the summer, you know, we need to do the same thing in our community centers, but I've added another layer that I would pursue, and that's the Santa Fe Youth Service Corps. The Youth Service Corps would be available to every teenager out there where they would not volunteer, but they would get involved in a project that would pay them a stipend, and that project would focus on some service here in our community. So think of a day where a teenager would spend time working at Habitat for Humanity or working up in the watershed, which all those organizations actually do provide some stipends for the youth, but they just don't have enough money for it. I would want to open it up to all teenagers and work with the private sector to create the funding. But the idea is that a student would be able to develop service, and in doing service, they would develop pride in Santa Fe. And so for half the day, they would work on a service-related project, and the other half, they would be involved in some kind of experiential learning, like how to develop the leadership skill. How do you identify the leader inside of you? How do you work with others? How do you become a change agent? If, as Santa Fe, we invest in this type of program that builds pride in our community while developing a critical skill set, we're giving our kids a really good leg up against other kids around the country when it comes to either going into the workforce or going into college and having the skill set to be able to succeed in that environment.
Talk about public transportation and bicycling, and in the context of the reality that I'm not the only person who's experienced this. I gave away my bike because every time I get on it, I feel like I'm taking my life in my hands because Right. Motorists, first of all, a lot of bicyclists aren't even driving on the right side of the street, a lot of motorists don't even see you. People have been hit because motorists aren't aware of bicycles. And then you've got a public transportation system in a relatively small city where you might be able to get somewhere, but then by the time you come back, the buses have stopped running. How do you deal with all that?
Well, one, I really appreciate the work that the folks over at the transit company do for the city. But I do think that we have inefficient bus routes. I mean, it's you can spend a time on a bus and know that if anyone has, the majority of time it's empty or very few people on there. And I think that there are far more people who want to use the bus but don't because, one, the inefficiency of the routes. And so we need to do a better job of creating routes that matter to people, that make sure that they're connected to employment bases, or, as I've proposed, you know, have one nighttime bus that is traveling between St. John's, Santa Fe University, and the downtown area as a place for kids to be able to use in the evenings to start creating more of a nightlife and an opportunity. The second thing that we need to do is embrace technology, and this has to be all the way across the city. We have to be pioneers when it comes to the use of technology and how we deliver service to the community. And today, if you wanted to know a bus route, you couldn't even go onto our website and pick an origin, a place where you would start and a destination ending, and see it map its way out for you. You have to literally pick up paper and figure out and ask questions. So I would want to create a mobile app that allows, you know, GPS written, that allows people two things. One, they can see when a bus is going to be coming through or where its location is so that they know how much longer they have to wait. And then two, you know, be able to plug in, you know, where you want to go and it lay out for you exactly what stops you need to be on and how long it'll take the bus to get to the next stop or to pick you up and then get you to your destination. I think that some of those basic things we can do to help create more ridership, but it goes back to the issue of being more efficient in how we deliver our routes and a little bit smarter in doing so in areas that we know we have a high concentration of people who want to use our buses and we're able to get them into the community. And then the second part to your point is the education system and the commitment to infrastructure that creates safer bike paths throughout Santa Fe. And that in the evening we're lighting up those bike paths. I mean, that's one of the critical things that we need to do, both for drivers of vehicles and bike riders, is to have a lit bike path so people know where those lanes are and they're able to stay safe in them.
One more question before we go, and it's a question of crime, property crime, and the drug addiction that seems to be behind that. How do you address that?
Well, it goes to the point of collaborative leadership. I think that the MERCOS has done a good job in creating the lead task force that creates that is a program that allows police officers to move kids into a program rather than sending them to jail. A program that helps them address some of their drug issues, and so that's a good start. What we have to do though is attack it from two fronts. One, I would engage our police force and do so in a way that would have them develop a task force within the police force that is attacking the drug trade coming into Santa Fe. We really have to be proactive as a city, identifying who is pushing the drugs into the schools, how their networks are being created, and do what we can to stop it. The second thing that I would focus on is on the treatment side of it. We only have 20 long-term treatment beds in our community. We need to expand it. And you have to work with nonprofits and the legislature to try and get some revenues to make that happen. But on the front side, before that, there is, there are effective outpatient programs that Presbyterian and other nonprofits provide here in our community that help kids break that addiction. But what it requires is it requires family engagement. The only way our kids are going to be able to really break their addiction and have the support to do so is if the families understand what led to that addiction, what they can do to help. And many times, what leads to that addiction is prescription medication. I mean, some of the basics of locking up prescription medication in your homes will go a long way to try and keep your kids from getting hooked on it. And then when they don't have it any further, they move to heroin. And so we're seeing, an uptick in the use of heroin in our community, and that That needs to stop. And then we need to recognize that kids are getting influenced by drugs at a much earlier age than when you and I were growing up. I mean, it's, you know, now you have to engage kids in the second and third grade, and some even earlier, but engage them to recognize how they confront a decision when someone is trying to get them to use pot or what they see going on at home, and how to make some of those decision points that will keep them from trying out the drug for the first time and then ultimately getting addicted to it.
Javier Gonzalez is candidate for mayor in the city of Santa Fe. I want to thank you very much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me here, and look forward to, I just want to remind everyone, voting is through Friday.
This Friday. Early voting.
8 to 5 at the City Hall. That's second floor, and that's on Lincoln Street. And then, of course, March 4th, Tuesday, polls open at 7 and close at 7. Make sure you call the city clerk to know where your polling location is, because I think the polling locations are different from the general elections.